Hello and welcome everybody to another episode of our podcast 1000 Years of Beer, presented by the world's oldest brewery, Weinstephan. As always, I welcome you, international brand ambassador of the brewery, Matthias, and my colleague, Anton. Hey, how are you doing?
Hello, Matthias. Hello, everybody. Thanks for being with us again. We are taking a deep dive tonight.
Yes.
Tonight? Today?
Today.
Yeah, whenever you're listening, who cares? and we do so into our history books because,
yes,
as you know, we've already talked about our founding father, our origin, Corbinian, mm-hmm. in another episode in this podcast. And today we will talk about the other saint that is very important to the Weinstephan Brewery. Yes. And that is Saint Vitus.
Saint Vitus.
And we will look a little bit into the history, into the legend, because there is always about Christian martyrs. There's always a lot of history and legends about it. So we will take a dive into that before we talk about a little
very
more about
the legendary beer. Legends.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
If you hear those stories, they seem so unbelievable.
So sit back, fasten your seatbelts, and grab a Vitus and. Yeah. Get ready to dive into history.
And I will talk a little bit more about the real existing Vitus story.
Yes.
And that's the story about how we brew and how we designed this beer and how it will taste. Maybe I can describe it so good that you will jump up wherever you are listening to this and get out there and get a Vitus.
That would be the perfect scenario.
Actually, yes. Actually, yes.
So let's talk a little bit about the history of Saint Vitus. He was a 7-year-old son of a senator of Lucania in former Rome,
300 AD, something like that.
Yeah, yes. In the former Rome, and when he
Roman
was,
Empire. Yeah.
When he was seven, he started to have a strong Christian faith.
And which was not very popular at that time in
exactly,
the Roman Empire.
Exactly.
Empire.
And I mean, his father being a senator, he was true to the Roman Empire. And he tried to, beat this faith out of his son. And,
literally.
Yeah, literally. And and that didn't work because the faith got even stronger. And at some point, the beatings were too hard to endure it any longer. And so his mentor and his tutor, and his wife took him under their wings and fled with him. And that was pretty much the story of how he escaped from his father's beatings and
tried to hide. And
exactly.
Live a Christian life, but this doesn't work out that well, right?
Yeah, the Emperor Diocletian, he found out about little Vitus working wonders.
Yeah,
and that was the point where he called for him. He found out where he lived, where he escaped to, and he called for him because the emperor's son was very sick at that time. And by sick, they were talking about being possessed by demons.
Yeah,
and maybe the devil, maybe demons. Who knows? And
that's
you already
interesting thing that the Roman Empire was like fighting against Christianity
right.
and the Christians. But then when he heard that the young wonder kid Vitus has special powers, then
right.
he was like, bring me this one, I want to
yep.
cure my son because he is
and as you already noticed
by a demon
and as you already noticed we're diving into a legend here
Catholic but legend
exactly so all right so Vitus came to his son, performed some kind of exorcism
on him
and drove
cured him actually
yeah and cured him and drove the demons out of him. So you know, the normal way would be to say thank you for what you've done for my son, for my family, for the Roman Empire.
Yeah.
And but as you might notice from the way I said this, this wasn't the case at all. He was sent to prison
because he was still Christian and still believing in his faith. And
So and you know the consequence of these actions were that he and his mentors and tutors were being tortured.
Yes. And they tried to kill Vitus.
Very,
Vitus.
Very, let's say, creative ways.
Yeah.
From iron
iron plates
that should actually just smother them, and you know, being put in a
boiling. The cage with a lion. That's my favorite. In the cage with a lion, which is a very Roman thing to do, and try to kill him. But the lion did not attack and kill Vitus. The lion became a little kitty cat and laid down to Vitus' feet. And yeah, so they had few very creative ways of torture and tried to kill him, but it does not work out because the legend says there was interference by God that does not work out, that
he could not be killed.
He could not be killed.
And at some point, when they started torturing him again, the legend says that angels came to his help and his tutors' help, and just flew them out of there and took him back to his birthplace, where they died while praying, but it was a very fulfilling death.
Yes.
Like a martyr's death.
Yeah.
And this is the story, the history about...
Or the legend about...
The legend about young Vitus, because he didn't get very old.
And so he became a Catholic martyr.
Right. And as we know about Catholic martyrs, they play a lot of... they play a huge role in the Catholic faith. The consequences out of this was that a lot of churches, a lot of monasteries were named after Vitus because his legend just cities. Grew.
Yeah. So in my hometown, or in my home area, there's a city called Sankt Veit, which is basically Saint Vitus. Yeah. There are churches, abbeys, cities, rivers named after Saint Vitus. So it became in the European areas, Catholic European areas, huge impact and a big legend. And so Vitus was worshipped all over the continent.
Exactly. And this led to him being very important all over the place. And also in Slavic countries, for example, where he plays a huge role.
Yeah. All in the Adriatic area, actually, but also very strong there in Croatia and maybe also in the whole Baltics, but also in Austria and in Germany. So you put out the number.
Over 1,000 churches in Germany are named after Saint Vitus. So that just goes to show how important he really was, besides being the patron saint for beer brewers. So,
which is actually, I guess, the introduction.
What a wonderful bridge to our next topic.
So he was the patron saint of the beer brewers, and he was not just the patron saint for the beer brewers, also for the winemakers, for the pharmacists, and so for different other crafts. But of course, for us, it's the most important thing that Saint Vitus was the patron of the beer brewers.
Definitely, yeah.
And but also on the other side, Saint Vitus was also it's worshipping all over Europe. It became also worshipped here in the city of Freising in the Middle Ages. So even in 833 AD, the first abbey was named to worship Saint Vitus. Yeah. It was the Saint Vitus Abbey. And this was actually the neighbor abbey of Weinstephan. Yeah. So like halfway from the Weinstephan Abbey to the cathedral of the city of Freising, which is about, 3 kilometers, 1.5 mile. On the halfway between the cathedral and the Weinstephan Abbey, they put on or they founded a smaller abbey, and they dedicated to Saint Vitus. And so this was actually the neighbor of Weinstephan.
Yeah.
Today it doesn't exist anymore, because after 1803, the St. Vitus Abbey was closed by the Bavarian kings due to so-called secularization here in Bavaria, and they teared down the buildings. So there are no buildings left from St. Vitus Abbey. But today there is a restaurant and a theater and the event area.
Where you can buy Vitus.
Where you can buy Vitus, actually. So they have Vitus there. There's also a small beer garden, and it's about 5-minute walk from the brewery, not even. But the place still exists, but it's not an abbey anymore. And also the ancient buildings are not existing anymore. Due to the situation that there was this St. Vitus Abbey, close to it, there are a few areas in the city of Freising still named after St. Vitus. So there was the Vitus Gate, which were the city walls of Freising, and there was a big gate, and this was also named after St. Vitus. And next to this Vitus Gate, actually there's today a pharmacy and also a very famous student pub, where you can also buy Vitus on tap, by the way. So this is a little bit the background story of St. Vitus in Freising. So it was also very, very present. But then the last 200 years, so like starting from the secularization to the early 2000s.
It kind of got forgotten a little bit about
it. Not forgotten, but it was not very present, let's say it that way. But then we as a brewery decided to bring Vitus a little bit back to life. Because in 2007, we decided to bring back a wheat bock, Weizenbock, and name it after St. Vitus. And dedicate this beer to St. Vitus. Because it's kind of a tradition in our brewery to name our strong beers, our bock beers, after a Catholic saint. Like our oldest beer in our portfolio and our most traditional beer, the dark Doppelbock, the dark lager Doppelbock, which is named after Corbinian, so the founder of the Wine Stefan Abbey and the founder of the Wine Stefan beer tradition here. And so we thought, well, it's maybe a good idea when we're bringing a new bock beer, a new strong beer to our portfolio, in that case, the a wheat bock, we name it after St. Vitus, because he is first basically our neighbor Abbey.
Yeah.
And second, Vitus is the patron saint of the beer brewers. So actually there we can bring two historic aspects together to name that beer and also fulfill our tradition that we name our bock beers after Catholic saints.
And we created a beer that really not only honors the founder, the patron saint of the brewers, Saint Vitus, but also really puts an accent to it, because it's not it's not just a beer. It's really one of a kind. And I think you can explain a lot better why that is than I can. So the stage is yours.
So just some parameters. So Vitus is, we call it in Germany, single bock. So it's based on the original gravity of the beer. So like our Corbinian Doppelbock was 18.3 degree Plato original gravity. It is considered in Germany a Doppelbock, a double bock. Vitus, with an original gravity of 16.5 degree Plato, is considered as a single bock or just bock. In Bavaria, this is kind of important if you're having a bock or a single bock, or not important, but it was in the older days more important because of the tax you pay for the beer. Vitus has, with 16.5 degree Plato, an alcohol content of 7.7% alcohol per volume. And so it seems as a very, very strong beer. Actually, our Corbinian Doppelbock only has 7.2% alcohol, even they have a higher gravity.
7.4.
So compared to Corbinian, which has 7.4% alcohol with a higher original gravity of 18.2, so there you can see that even we have less gravity in Vitus, we make more alcohol out of it. So why is that? And that's why we designed our Vitus to be, or not to be, but we dedicated the brewing process of Vitus to be high attenuation and high drinkability. So we wanted to create a wheat bock that is super drinkable and not too thick or too sweet like many other strong beers or bock beers are. Which is okay, because this defines bock beers, that they are sweeter, that they are a little bit kind of alcoholic because they have a high alcohol content. But we decided on the Vitus, no, we want to go another direction. We want to create a bock that is basically kind of camouflaging itself being a bock. It's a stealth bock.
That's pretty much sums it up.
With 7.7% alcohol, which is actually pretty high, but with 16.5 degree Plato, that means we actually ferment any sugar molecule in that beer. So actually we don't have any kind of rest sugar in it. So of course there is some rest sugar in it, but you barely can taste it. So the beer is very high fermented, so the attenuation grade is very, very high. And we dedicated everything in our brewing process to basically try to put as much fermentable sugars in the beer as possible with a special mashing regime and a special mashing recipe. And so we create a lot of fermentable sugars, and our Wine Stefana wheat beer yeast can convert those sugars very, very easy. And so we get with a kind of low original gravity a very, very high alcohol. So basically we ferment everything out of it that's possible. And that makes the Vitus, especially when you drink it and when you taste it, kind of dry compared to other bock beers. So you actually don't feel that thick, sweet maltiness. So the beer seems more to be super fruity. So the intensity when you smell it is very banana-ish and a little bit to just cloves flavor. And when you drink it, it's creamy, it's fruity, and very, very dedicated to the wheat beer flavors. But in the end, that's the nice thing, it seems kind of dry. So you have a very drinkable kind of dry wheat beer with a slight apricot flavor in the aftertaste. So this makes the beer also very, very drinkable because you're having this fruitiness, you're having a slight creaminess, a nice carbonation, and it's not too intense in any way, and you don't basically taste the alcohol. So you never would guess without knowing that this beer has 7.7% ABV. And this actually makes Vitus a little bit, it's dangerous. A stealth bock. And it's a stealth bock because it's hiding its
alcohol content.
And this makes the Vitus a little bit dangerous. Yeah, so you need to handle it with care. Of course, you should every time drink beer just responsible.
Exactly, yeah.
So it doesn't matter which beer.
And we cannot stress this enough. Enjoy your beers and drink responsibly.
Yes, but also maybe with Vitus, took care a little bit more than with any other beer because you don't feel the alcohol and the intensity of the beer alcohol-wise. And so maybe sometimes you pick one too much. Yeah. So we don't want you to do that and have a bad experience on that. We just want to have you to enjoy this wonderful fruity and complex beer with a little bit higher alcohol content than you're maybe used to or you would taste.
Definitely. And it's not only the taste that defines this great beer. It's also the appearance.
Yes.
And if you're lucky enough and you might just be because we exported it in over 30 countries now. Mm-hmm. And if you're lucky enough to get it in the original glass that usually comes with it, you get a special kind of wheat beer glass, which shows the portrait of Saint Vitus.
Yeah, an ancient portrait of Saint Vitus. Yes.
So it also looks like looks very, very high quality like. And
But for me, important is the form or the shape of the glass, because exactly. It's not a typical wheat beer glass. The Vitus glass has a shape that remembers you more a little bit of a wine glass, like a Bordeaux or a red wine glass. And this we picked on purpose because with that kind of shape, the flavors, the fruity flavors of the Vitus can build up a nice bouquet inside the glass. So when you drink it, when you smell it, the intensity is much more and higher than when you would drink it out as a normal wheat beer glass. Of course, Vitus can be drunk in a wheat beer glass and will also taste very well. But this special Vitus glass we picked is dedicated to intensify the experience of the flavor and of the smell and the aroma. If you don't have a Vitus glass and you just want to experience that, maybe use just a Bordeaux or a red wine glass. So this will work also very, very fine if you want to really to taste and get the full Vitus experience.
Yes, it's just recommendable to use that glass. For the reasons you just said, And also because, you know, I work in marketing, so I just love the beers to be in their respective glasses. It's just what makes...
Of course, but also giving a special beer like Vitus also a special glass to point out that it's a specialty beer and that it's that
definitely
kind of,
worth it. Yeah. I mean, you don't put a Helles, for example, in that kind of glass because the amount of aromas that are in the Invitus, for example, or also in the Corbinian, are so much more intense that it's just worth it to use the special glass for it.
Absolutely. And who actually, by the way, is interested a little bit more into how the brewing process of Vitus is made or what is the secrets behind it, I recommend everyone maybe getting an issue of the United States magazine Beer and Brewing. In February 2022, our brewmaster Tobias and me took an interview with Beer and Brewing because they have a special report focused on brewing wheat box, and they're focused on two type of wheat box. And so one of those wheat box was Vitus. And there are a lot of deep in technical details and specials in that article and in that issue. So for all of you who are interested in it, try to get one of an exemplar or an issue of that magazine of February 2022 with the wheat box special of Beer and Brewing.
Yes, and if you want to have the beer with it, you can check our product finder for all Germans and American people, because we have a German product finder on winestefana.de and an American one on winestefana.com. And for all the others, contact us.
Yes, contact us through Instagram or Facebook, and we try to find out where in maybe your country, in Europe or in Asia or in Australia, Vitus could be found. So where I can find it and where I can enjoy it. So it's either way, great beer from bottle or fresh and tap. So it doesn't matter, actually. And also, yes, it fits very well because I mentioned Asia to Asian food.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of my personal recommendations. And try Thai or a little bit more spicy Asian food. Vitus has with it, alcohol can kind of balance, especially spicy food or very intense flavored food very well. So like Asian food, Thai food, for example. But also what I experienced in the United States, in Los Angeles, we were at this Mexican place who also had Vitus on draft. And and it was like this also very flavorful, intense, and also spicy Mexican food. And there, the Vitus fitted so great. It was amazing.
And I know, because you mentioned this a couple of times when we talk about your travels and stuff, you have the perfect recommendation where to drink a Vitus.
Absolutely, because it's actually the biggest Vitus account in the whole world. And that's not the brewing restaurant, the Bräustüberl here in Freising. Nope. It's actually in Redwood City in California, south of San Francisco, in the Bay Area. There you will find Gourmethaus Stout. Gourmethaus Stout is actually the biggest Vitus account in not just the United States, also all over the world. And that's actually pretty amazing. They have Vitus on tap all year round, every day. And so they're selling a good amount of Vitus, even more than we are selling here in the Bräustüberl at the brewery. And also, so we dedicated there a plate. So at the Gourmethaus Stout, the brewery designed a special plate that's there on the wall that is pointing out that Gourmethaus Stout is the biggest Vitus account in the world. Great German place. It was founded from German people who moved to the United States. And so they made a German supermarket and German restaurant there. And of course, they have German beers, great German food, great schnitzel. And it's now, I guess, the third generation of family Stout who is now running it. And yeah, so for a great Vitus experience, Redwood City, California, south of San Francisco. It's actually pretty close also to the airport.
Yeah, so if you have a four-hour overlay or something, get off the plane, get a Vitus, get on the plane.
Last time I've been there, I was visiting some customers in San Francisco, and on the way to my plane and San Francisco International Airport, I stopped there, take a lunch, had three Vitus on draft, and then went to the airport, dropped my luggage, went to the plane, and basically I slept halfway through to Munich. So
nice.
Yeah. That's also some lovely Vitus effect.
Sounds like the perfect ending for a great trip.
Yeah, it was. It was, yeah.
All right, and this sounds like the perfect ending for this episode. So thank you very much for listening in.
Thanks a lot.
I hope we could teach you something a little bit about the history and the legend of Vitus and about the beer that comes with it. And yes, we'll hope to hear from you next time. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.